Welcome. You've got mail. But not really. This is the Brief Nerdy Podcast. I am your host, Ryan. Joining me once again is my good friend, Trent.
Good evening.
Good afternoon and good night.
That's right. Bye, everybody. See you next week. Shortest episode ever.
Yep. And then, of course, our good friend is joining us, TJ.
Snoochie boochies.
What he said.
Yeah, no one says that anymore. I don't think anyone really said that to begin with.
No. That was almost a spit take right there.
We're starting it here, right now. We're bringing it back.
Snoochie boochies. Is that a greeting?
I don't know. Jay and Silent Bob. Jay always said
that was snooch to the mooch. It was snooch to the mooch or something.
I think he changed it up a lot. I think it kind of works like aloha, where it can mean hello or goodbye.
Yeah, that was from the Jay and Silent Bob TV show. I remember that.
Nice.
Good times. All right, well, let's get started right into our round robin. It's going to be a quicker one this week. We're going to do our favorite Mario Odyssey transformation.
I'm going to go first because I've played less than you guys.
Okay.
So I am going to do the, and I don't even know the name, it's in the forest world where you get the super long legs.
Ah, that was going to be mine.
Pull up, like a turnip thing or something, right? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, I forget the exact name.
Like the little onion thing in the forest?
Yeah, where you get the super long legs.
Gotcha. That wasn't mine, but yes.
Hop up on things. I love that guy. He's awesome.
The boss fight was really fun with that one, too.
Yes. That's mine.
TJ, why don't you go next?
Cool. There's a later one. You're kind of like a woodpecker, but you use your beak to... You can, like, extend your beak, but you could use it to climb walls. Like, you stick your beak in the wall, and then you kind of fling yourself upwards and you can climb. That one's really fun.
Yeah, I didn't know how I felt about that world at first, but then, like, I ended up, like, really loving it by the end.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because you think, like, the later world, it's Bowser's world, and it's not your typical Bowser theme, and you're like, I don't know if I like the direction they took with this, but it gets better.
Well, they had the typical, like, just stereotypical lava section at some point later on in the game, and I was like, okay, that need's fulfilled, then Bowser's castle's fine.
That's funny.
But speaking of transformations, though, a little pro tip. So I 100%ed the game. I got everything. I know you did too, Ryan. But one thing I realized... There you go. One thing I realized a few days later, I was like, wait a second, I think there's still a few transformations that I never got. And there were two that I never came across. So I looked it up, and it's the two different types of piranha plants in the game. There's the poison ones and the fireball ones. I never got those. So I 100%ed it without getting those. So you don't need to get those to beat the game.
I didn't know. So, I mean, how do you even transform into them? They always eat your cap.
You need to find one that has a rock by it, and you need to kick the rock into its mouth. And then when its mouth is full, you throw your cap on it, and then you
can
turn
it. Amazing.
Yeah, so I was like, that's really weird that they would have transformations in there that aren't required to beat the game.
Can you move, or are you like stuck in place?
You're stuck in place.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's just kind of for goofy fun.
That's cool, one of the things I've loved about Mario so far is that like there are two or three or four different ways sometimes to get two different objectives.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's what's great about it. Because there is one part where it's a fire spitting piranha plant, and there's two torches that you have to light. But how I did it was I just stood by the torch and waited till it saw me, and then shot a fireball and moved out of the way. I thought that's how you're supposed to do it, but nope, you can transform. So there you go, your Mario Odyssey pro tip of the show.
I'm sure we'll have lots more in future episodes.
What about you, Ryan?
My spoilerific and true answer, I'm going to say, is the final transformation, but I won't go into that. For my spoiler friendly, I'm going to say the Wiggler caterpillars on Lost Kingdom.
Yes, those are fun.
Yeah.
They were just like so interesting of a mechanic to try to platform your way around above this poisonous water and find little caves and coves to go into, and they're just so happy little Wigglers. So
I just found those guys, but I don't have my cap back yet. So
yep.
Because that jerk of a vulture has had it. I need to go take it right now. I'm done waiting.
And it's cool. I think I might have mentioned it when I was on last time, but the controls, they're so simple for all the different transformations that it takes you seriously a couple seconds to get the hang of it. And then you're like, okay, I understand how this works. And that's how a good game should be.
Yep. Super intuitive.
Well, there you go.
Well, let's get into what we're playing. Trent, what's been playing besides Mario Odyssey right now?
So I got back into WoW, doing the Suramar stuff, which I'm really excited about. So I'm like super far behind everybody else. But it's fun, because I've always enjoyed WoW at my own speed rather than like the rush of the early expansion. Sometimes that's just more stressful and fun when you're trying to keep up with people. So I'm having a good time. And then we finished, you and I and Eric, the main story content for Destiny 2.
Woo!
It was exciting.
We're now leveling up process to get to the raid.
Yep.
Did you guys have fun with it?
Yeah, it was really good.
A lot of fun, yeah. I was a little bit just slightly unimpressed by the final boss, but I think we were over-leveled and over-geared.
Yeah, we definitely were at that point.
But the story and the voice acting and the music is all great, so I had a really good time.
Cool. Well, good. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Do you think there's enough content for you guys to keep going and keep playing it for a long time?
Yeah, I'm like ready and anxious to play, but I gotta drag them to play with me.
First question, yes. Second question, maybe.
I'm like excited.
There's plenty of stuff left to do. Like there's quests on the planet we haven't done. There's strikes we haven't done, and then there's obviously getting to the raid and doing it. And then like the first DLC is in December, so yeah,
coming soon, not to a theater near you. Mm-hmm. Reference to an old Final Fantasy VII commercial. Yeah. Because I thought they were clever. Just Destiny 2 with Trent. I've been loving it. Again, a little bit more into the PvP since Trent and I and Eric kind of agreed we played like the main story content, strikes and raids together. And I've had a little bit more time to play than Trent has. He's been a bit busy. And so I've been just messing around, just grinding, doing world events and PvP and stuff like that. So having fun with that. Kind of playing Last of Us. I'm not really playing it, but I'm playing it with Maggie. She's playing and I'm watching and kind of helping her. Maggie does enjoy some games. She loves especially like good characters and story. That's why she kind of loves Mass Effect and Uncharted and stuff like that. And so I definitely wanted to get her into Last of Us, but Last of Us is probably like a more advanced game than she's used to playing. And so
yeah. I would say even more so than the Uncharted games.
Oh yeah, it's not friendly even on easy mode. Like the clickers, they kill you in one hit no matter what. So
wow. And even the crafting, too. Like, sometimes you got to make really important decisions. Like, all right, am I going to craft this or this? I only have enough resources for one.
Yep. But, no, she's doing a great job and hasn't needed my help, like, at all. You know, or she's done it all on her own, just with some guidance for me. I mean, like, clicker approaching on the left. She's like, ah! You know, stuff like that. But, no, she's doing really, really good. We're in the winter portion of the game, for those who are familiar with the game already.
She's making progress, then.
Yeah. Making good progress, so I'm excited to see her finish that and then participate in the excitement for Last of Us 2.
Make sure she plays that story segment they released afterwards.
Yep, I forget. Left Behind.
There you go.
Yeah, it's part of the Last of Us Remastered on PS4. So
there you go.
I had it on PS3 anyways, but yeah. So that's it for me.
Cool. One thing that bothered me with Last of Us, I love that game. I mean, that was definitely one of the best games of that year. But when they go for the photorealism, it just drove me nuts that sometimes you really needed to find a brick to throw to distract an enemy or do whatever you need to do with it. And there were so many bricks on the ground, but they weren't bricks you could pick up.
Yeah.
And it just drove me crazy. I'm like, I'm standing on a pile of bricks, but there's no flashing brick in it, so I can't do anything with it. It just takes me out of it.
Super annoying video game logic.
Yeah, but didn't ruin the game or anything, just a little note about it.
I know you had a ton of fun with the multiplayer, but I never got into it.
I really did. Like, I loved... That's what I'm really hoping for, and I never thought I would say that with a game that really focuses on story. But that multiplayer, I really hope in the new one they bring that multiplayer back and, you know, improve on it even more, because that multiplayer was just, it was phenomenal. It was like nothing else I ever played, so I was not expecting that at all, either.
Yeah, I remember you just raving about it.
Yeah, but it was one of those things you kind of had to stick with it. And then my friends and I, we got really good, but then other people, like all the casual players kind of started dropping off, and then the hardcore players that only played that were the only ones left playing, so it no longer was fun, but it was fun while it lasted.
Well, cool.
Was it like cooperative PvP or?
Yeah, it was cooperative, but you were collecting resources like in the. It was like
a mobile game kind of where you collect resources and build a base, but instead
You weren't building a base at all. It was just for you to build like items and weapons and stuff like that.
Okay, I thought it was kind of like a keep your settlement alive type thing.
No, and there were modes too where, like, once you died, you were out. So, you know, you would be like the last person standing on your team. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's been a while since I played it, but yeah, it was great. We were really, really into it for a while.
Yeah, hopefully they bring it back in the second one.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
All right, yeah. What you been watching, TJ?
Playing. like I mentioned earlier, I finished Mario 999 moons. I was kind of taking it slow, and then when you said you beat it, I'm like, all right, I really gotta, like, sit down.
I gotta catch
up to Ryan. But yeah, I mean, I loved it. I mean, I can't recommend the game enough. I do feel like the 999 moons, there's a couple hundred they could have easily taken out, and the game would have still been incredible.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a lot of padding in it, but it is really sad when you finish, though. So if anyone's trying to rush through it, I say take your time. It's a very easy game to go back to if you don't play it for a while, so don't rush through it like I did.
I'm sorry, TJ.
Yeah, no, it's okay. yeah, but that, and then I started playing Wolfenstein: The New Order. I've owned that game on PS4 for a couple of years now. I got it really cheap a while ago, and I never played it. And I think about 3 or 4 hours into it, I was playing it because that's one of the games that's really cheap. It's only going to be $25 on Black Friday, the second one, the one that just came out not that long ago. So I was like, oh man, $25, I heard it's great. You know, I'll play this one to get into it. But I'm like 3 to 4 hours in, and I don't really know if I'm having fun or not. Like, I don't hate it or anything, but it's not a good sign when you're not sure if you're enjoying what you're playing.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I remember just loving it.
Don't yeah,
remember if there was ever a, you know, a gap or so in that, but I remember just overall by the end thinking like, that was a really good game.
Yeah, so. I mean, I know the game's not that old, but it feels dated. Some of the mechanics and stuff, like, it feels much older than it actually is. But I don't know, so I'll probably give it another, like, solid, like, sit-down, you know, play session, and if I'm still not feeling it by then, I might move on to something else. But
that's understandable.
Yeah, and then last thing, that South Park Phone Destroyer. I don't really play very many mobile games. Usually the ones I play are awful. South Park Phone Destroyer is actually a lot of fun. It's definitely a free-to-play game in every regard. But you can play. Like, it's not one of those games where you can only play for a certain amount of time and then you're stuck having to wait for time to pass or buying stuff. So you could definitely buy stuff right from the get-go. It does give you an advantage, but I've been playing like PvP online and stuff. I spent 99 cents on one like introductory pack that they had. It was a good deal. I figured I played, you know, this much already and 99 cents, you know, it's worth it to give them something. But yeah, I never did I feel like, oh man, I'm so underpowered compared to these people that are spending money. So the only reason I'd recommend it is if you're a South Park fan, the cutscenes and stuff in it and the characters are just hilarious. And they do some really clever stuff with the fact that you're using a phone. Like, the game talks about you. It's all about you being good on your phone as the new kid. So they do a lot of really, like, fun, silly stuff with it. So, yeah, I think it's worth checking out.
Yeah, I definitely need to. I downloaded it with your suggestion, but I haven't played it quite yet. Though I'm the guy who bought Super Mario Run and literally hasn't played it yet. So,
well, even
you're not missing much.
Well, the thing with South Park, like, even if you only just put, like, an hour into it, even if you just play it once, like, you'll see some of the clever stuff right off the bat. So even that, if that's all you do, it's still worth it. So
yeah, maybe I'll do it this week while I'm just waiting for Star Wars on Friday. So don't really want to start anything new. You know, it's big, you know, so I might just do that then. Well, cool. Right. What you watching then?
Well, I saw Murder on the Orient Express. Thank you, MoviePass.
How was it?
It was good. It was good. I wasn't like gushing over it after we left, but it's shot really well. I didn't know that the main actor in it, I forget his name, the main actor is also the director. He's directed a lot of movies that people really love and stuff, so I had no idea. Because I was wondering, I'm like, I know this guy from other movies, but he's in this movie with other actors that are much bigger than him. And I was like, how'd they pull that off? But now you know, because he made the movie. But yeah, no, it's really good. The one gripe I had with it, I can't really say because it would spoil it, but the movie is so good at really sticking to like attention to detail that there's one big part in kind of the reveal that doesn't really fit with the rest of the movie. And I'm like, well, everything else like has an a reason or an explanation, and
yeah.
then this part of the reveal, I'm like, well, that doesn't really fit with everything else, but doesn't ruin the movie or anything. It's still good. I did not predict the ending as I was watching it. I was really trying hard. I'm like, all right, I'm going to figure out who the killer is, and I did not do it. So yeah, I think it's a good movie. Definitely worth seeing.
It sounds like a lot of fun. I was going to go see it this weekend, but Maggie's work is taking all the employees plus one to see it next week. So I was just going to do that instead.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. No rush to see it, but yeah, definitely worth seeing though.
Very nice.
And quickly, Vice Principals, the show I talked about last time I was on, it had its final episode. It was a 2-season run. I guess they filmed all of it like back to back. So they just, spaced it out over the course of a year. I was very happy with the show. I know, Ryan, that you said you're not the biggest Danny McBride fan, but the show, it's just so off the wall. And one of my friends was asking about it the other day. He's never heard of it, and I was trying to explain it to him, and I really couldn't. It's just one of those shows you have to see, and you'll either love it or just not get into it at all. But I was really happy with the finale. Really enjoyed it.
Nice.
Yeah. And then
always nice to have a good show that you could really love. And did it end on a note on its own terms, or did...
They had a set story, start to finish. That's all they wanted to do. So,
that's
the
best, right,
they canceled or anything. They had one story they wanted to tell. They told it. They're done. So I can't see them doing any more like spinoffs or anything like that, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah, I like that.
But that's pretty much it. Other than that, I've just been watching some of the DC movies. I'm gonna watch Wonder Woman and Man of Steel. I'm gonna try and watch Batman v Superman again before Justice League on Thursday. Just kind of get in the mindset of
Trent and I watched a 10-minute YouTube video yesterday that just kind of recapped it, and I'm like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, but see, I don't hate those movies. They could definitely be improved, but in a lot of ways. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, I really don't hate them.
That's good.
Man of Steel, though, I haven't watched it in a while, and I definitely do have some problems with it, though.
Yeah, I think they mentioned in the video like the whole thing about the codex, about them downloading the entire genetic code of Krypton into Kal-El, and Trent was like, I don't remember that at all.
Well, honestly, my biggest gripe with it was how they handled Jonathan Kent, played by Kevin Costner. Just, I know the whole point that they were trying to make, like, no, son, I don't want the world to know about you because that's going to change everything. I want to keep you a secret for your protection. But then when, like, he's a boy and he saves those kids on the bus, he's like, what was I supposed to do? Just let him die? And Jonathan's like, well, maybe. And I'm like, Jonathan would never say, oh, let a bus full of kids die just so no one finds out about you. And the whole tornado thing was really weird. I'm like, I can't see Clark just watching his dad die when he can easily save him.
That's like, what is he going to do? Like, ground you? Like,
yeah.
You save me
without you can't ground Superman.
So, yeah, the movie does a lot of cool stuff, but yeah, definitely, like all the DC movies. Well, not really so much Wonder Woman, but lots of problems.
I just kind of want to give a shout-out to South Park. It had one of its best episodes in years this past week. Did you watch it, TJ?
No, you know what? I have them all recorded. I think I'm like 2 or 3 episodes behind, but this most recent episode was one of the best, you said?
Yeah. I mean, it's just South Park in perfect form, just super funny because of the topic that they cover, the characters being funny, and then the modern commentary. It had that balance perfectly in classic Star Wars, classic South Park fashion. And so it just, compared to the last few seasons of bleh that the show has been, it was a breath of fresh air. It felt classic South Park to me. So,
oh, okay.
It was very good. And Trent and I could probably talk about the Star Trek Discovery mid-season finale.
Oh my gosh, it was
last
so good.
Night. It was really, really good.
Cool.
Great action, great like cinematography, like great suspense. There's still so many like questions, and it had a great cliffhanger for the next season. Like next, not the same season, but next half of the season.
Tons of nudity.
Yeah, we finally know what Klingon boobies look like.
Klingon titties is what everyone's been talking about all over Reddit, everywhere.
Wait, are you being... I was saying that as a joke. I had no idea.
No, it is 100% serious. They showed Klingon boobies for the first time. Everyone's like, Klingon boobies!
Yeah. And it's sad because like that's what everyone's focusing on, even though like it's really focusing on like a really sensitive and powerful subject that doesn't get covered in TV a lot, which is like male sexual abuse. But... it was actually, I don't know. It was a great episode. Everybody should
watch it. Fantastic episode. You should catch up when you have a moment.
Yeah, well, that doesn't get covered in TV and movies a lot lately. It gets covered off camera, apparently. Yeah.
Well, no, I meant like abuse of men.
Not oh, gotcha. Oh, okay.
Which I guess,
gotcha.
You know, Kevin Spacey fits, but not not a lot of the other. Man, I don't know if we're going to talk about this at all, but like just the number of allegations in the last few weeks has just been crazy.
Yeah, I don't think we should talk about it.
I agree.
That'll take the rest of the show, and it'll go in a direction that...
It's unfortunate that it's only now coming to light if the allegations are true, and I hope that the victims receive peace and justice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same.
So, anything else you've been watching, Trent? That's it for me.
The only one that's really new. Everything else is pretty much going the same. Survivor had a really good episode. It was very suspenseful, and I thought my favorite person was going to go home. It was phenomenal Survivor television. And the merge happened, which is always fun and exciting. So those are kind of the two that are big and worth talking about this week, I think.
Do you have a person that you're rooting for?
I do. I have a couple. I like Chrissy and the little scrawny hustler guy that she always hangs out with. I forget his name now.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name either.
Let's say it's like Frank or Zach or something like that. But
Frack. Spank.
But yeah, I love the way the episode went. Are you rooting for anyone?
No, you know what? The merge is one that really starts coming out. Once everyone's together, that's when I usually go, oh, okay, now I feel like I have a good read on everyone. I'm going to root for this person. Yeah. Well, so
a lot of
it hasn't quite happened yet.
A lot of people's game doesn't really emerge until after the merge.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's been an entertaining season so far though.
Agreed.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get into some news. These first couple might be just kind of quick ones, but I thought they're worth mentioning. First off, GameStop nearly sold through all of its Xbox One X supply units in about 24 hours.
Wow.
A lot of people were, I wouldn't say worried, but just curious whether a premium-priced $500 console mid-cycle upgrade would be successful. And it's still yet to be determined if it is successful, but the fact that, you know, the supply is out within 24 hours, you know, is a good sign for Microsoft, I guess.
Well, I'm gonna play devil's advocate here a little bit.
Did GameStop under order?
Yeah, how many units sold, and do you think these are just the hardcore Xbox people that are like, okay, I'm gonna go out, I'm buying this day one, I want that Scorpio edition. Do you think the sales will continue to do well as time goes on?
I think it'll do well, but not as well as the S. I think, you know, the $200-ish Xbox, you know, will sell a lot better. But for those who...
Yeah, because see, that even has me thinking about, like, PlayStation 4. Like, Black Friday coming up, there's $200 PlayStation 4 Slims. Like,
yeah.
$200. That's crazy. And then the Pro is still $400. And the difference between the two, like, yeah, there's a difference. But, I mean, do you think a lot of like casual gamers are going to go, oh yeah, I'll pay double just to get, you know, the better of the two? Or do you think people are like, well, no, this one's still going to play everything. It's fine.
I think though, there's a kind of a advantage that Microsoft has here. I think that anyone going for that $200 console will get a PlayStation 4 Slim over an Xbox One S. But I think anyone who this Black Friday is buying a 4K TV or something like that, we'll buy an Xbox One X over a PS4 Pro.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean like PlayStation 4 versus Xbox. I just meant like PlayStation 4 Slim versus a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm just saying that.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm just saying that I think both Sony and Microsoft have a good edge because, you know, a $200 PS4 is a fantastic deal. You know, Trent, you're just saying you need to get one. You might not need to jump on that. But, you know, for those... For the higher end market, I think Xbox One X has that market a bit more cornered than the PlayStation 4 Pro does right now.
Yeah. I just think it's very odd that they would launch the X and not really have anything to really launch alongside of it to really show it off.
Yeah.
But I do like what they're doing with all the backwards compatibility stuff. I mean, it's amazing that it can play, you know, original Xbox games and, you know, beyond, so...
Yeah.
It's going to be weird. I mean, look how, you know, how on top Xbox was in the 360 days. And then, like, in the last couple of years, like, PS3 just came back out of nowhere and kind of took over. So I wonder if that'll happen here. You know, Xbox has fallen behind, but maybe it'll come back.
Maybe. It's definitely a possibility.
And even if you don't know if the games are going to play any better, like, there is just an appeal of having up-to-date and, you know, the latest equipment for everything else you might use it for. Like, it'll load apps faster, it'll do, you know, all that other stuff too. So there's that draw as well for those who use it as, like, their entertainment box.
Yeah, apparently the OS is silky smooth on it now, whereas
finally
the Xbox One's dashboard has been notoriously bad this whole generation. So
did you guys talk about last week the size of the hard drive, like 1 terabyte being too small?
Not necessarily, but yeah, it totally is.
Yeah, like Halo 5, I think the latest version of it to run in 4K is over 100 gigs.
Yep.
Halo 5 is over 100 gigs. I think there's one game that's like 170, and you're not even getting the full terabyte. I think you're only getting like maybe 850 gigs total. Yeah. So it's filling up quick.
I'm starting to feel that on my PC. Like I got myself a 500 solid state, and I was like, oh yeah, look at me, I'm pretty good. And like it fills up so fast.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll see if sales continue.
I'm usually pretty good at deleting games as soon as I'm done with them. I have, like right now, if I look at my computer, I have Destiny 2, Overwatch, StarCraft installed.
Yeah.
I need to do a better job of just uninstalling the ones I'm not playing. But
yeah, because Switch obviously has, you know, its own storage issues, especially with some of these bigger games coming out like Doom and L.A. Noir's tomorrow. Like, L.A. Noir, I don't think you can download it and fit it onto the system. Like, you need to have an SD card or you need to buy, like, the physical copy. But yeah, but even that, Switch gives you the option, like, do you want to delete this game but still keep it on your home screen just so you know you have it? And then if you go to play, it gives you the option to re-download it again. So
that's nice. Well, speaking of Switch, I haven't played it, but by all accounts, the Switch port for Doom is a fantastic port.
Yeah, and you know what? It's weird hearing that across the board, because there's definitely the Nintendo fanboys that are going to, you know, eat it up, and even if it's not that great, they're going to make it sound like it's the greatest thing ever. But then you're going to have the Nintendo haters that are going to, you know, jump at any opportunity to tear it down, and I haven't heard anything bad about the port. I heard it's great.
I mean, the only thing quote-unquote bad I heard is that it runs natively at 720, 30 frames a second, you know, whether it's stock or not. But that's, you know, for a modern-gen game, you know.
Yeah, and from what I've heard that from people that have played both, they're like, if you have them side-by-side, you're going to notice a difference, and you're going to say, okay, this obviously looks worse. But once you just are focused on this version and you're getting into it, like after a couple levels, you just forget all about it. So,
man, Doom is just such a fun game, you know.
Yeah.
Just, well, by all accounts, so.
And I think that's my problem with Wolfenstein. I think since it came from Bethesda, I was kind of expecting more Doom. Like, okay, I'm going to go in and just shoot a bunch of Nazis. But there's a lot of breaks in the story and cutscenes and, like, different scenarios you're going through. So I think maybe that's what's kind of making me feel the way I do, because Doom was just, like, find your guns, kill everything you can, and just keep moving on. So,
yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But no, I mean, that's really promising, though, for Switch to get a game like Doom and actually have it run well, even though it's not as well as the other versions. But that's very promising, especially considering it hasn't even been out a year yet. So,
again, you could play it on a plane. So,
yeah. So weird.
There's that factor.
Awesome.
In great news this week, the video game voice actor strike is finally over.
Thank goodness.
Woo!
It's been going on for over a year. It started October 20th, 2016. We don't get any actually official word on like what was met or what agreements happened. We just know that 90% of the SAG's votes, you know, voted in favor of their conditions being met. So...
Yeah, that's great.
yeah, you know, whether or not all conditions were met or a good portion of them, they thought, oh, that's good enough, we'll vote yes, you know. We'll probably may find out in the future, but either way, we're going to get our good old SAG voice actors back.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't really following the topic too much, but earlier today, I was looking up some videos on LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2, because that comes out tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. And one of the videos I was watching said the voice acting, it's all different voice actors, or pretty much all different voice actors from the first LEGO Marvel Super Heroes because of that strike. So they said it, you know, the voice actors are okay, but they're not as good as the first games. So I was like, oh man, I didn't know it would really affect it that much. But then I heard some of the dialogue and I'm like, oh yeah, I do hear a difference.
Yeah. I was trying to think about games that I know of that I know suffered because of the writer's strike, but the only one I could think of was the new Life is Strange game. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one. Yeah, I haven't played it yet either, but I know that's going to bother me when I play it.
So, we'll see, but yeah, I'm glad that, you know, the voice actors could come to an agreement
yeah.
with the video game company, so good for them. This is something that you kind of talked about, or we kind of talked about, I guess, before. When is the PS5 and the next Xbox coming out? Ubisoft recently came out and said it's a minimum of 2 years away. So that minimum of 2 years away, of course, being at this point, November of 2019. What do you two think of that? Is that too soon, too early, or too late, just right?
Well, I definitely don't think it's too early.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts, Trent?
I don't know. I don't have either of the current generation, so it's kind of, except for Switch, I guess, but... It seems like, I don't know, do you think they've met their full potential at this point? And like, and what does even a generation mean anymore when you have two or three versions of that generation?
And that's kind of my thoughts.
Drastically more powerful.
You know, I kind of just assumed that everything was going to just take on like the iPhone generation model, so to speak, to where, and that may be the case as well. I don't know, but you know, I felt with what Xbox has been doing that, they're not going to just have a clean break. This is the Xbox 2 or whatever they decide to call this new one.
Yeah,
the Xbox 10 because Windows 10 stuff. But I don't know. What do you think, TJ?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, 2 years, I'm definitely okay with that. I mean, 2 years is a long time, and the consoles have been out, you know, for a while. Like PS4 Pro came out last year. I know we just got the Xbox One X. I feel like if the Switch has an upgraded model in like a year or two, I would be fine with that. Not that I think there's really much wrong with the Switch now, but you know, they could definitely make some improvements on the hardware end. So
yeah, we've definitely seen that in their portable market with like the DS Lite and the 3DS XL.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'll definitely buy a Switch XL.
Yeah. All I really care about is that they don't release games that run just very poorly on what's out now. Like, I don't want there to be a game that comes out for PS4 that's like, well, I mean, you can play it on a regular PS4, but it's really made for the PS4 Pro. Like, that's when I'll be like, okay, this kind of stinks.
Well, that kind of does happen just in a different way before. Like, at every generation border, I guess I will say, that they release games on both platforms to where the previous gen one is always significantly inferior. I mean, if you look at, you know, this past generation, they released Destiny 1 on 360 and PS3, you know, for a long time. Think of all the games that were on original Xbox and were on 360 as well. Things like...
Well, GTA 5 was on 360.
Yeah.
That seems like such a different game compared to what you have now on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm. And so like it's kind of just that, just in a different form. You buy the game once, but you have a modern copy and a previous gen copy. It doesn't really have to run like crap, but it'll probably be inferior in some ways. And like,
I said, like the,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I really consider the PS4 Pro and the PS4 and the Xbox One X and the Xbox One S two different consoles, though.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the direction they're going to try going. Like in the next 2 years, are they going to eventually get rid of the PS4 and the Xbox One S and only sell the Pro and the X?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, a few years down the line, those will be the discounted versions of the consoles down to the $200, $300.
Can you still buy the original One X?
Nope.
Or no, the Xbox One, rather?
Nope, it is gone from production. Yeah. Only the S and the X.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, and that's likely going to keep happening. There's no reason to have three different versions of your own console out for sale. So.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on to the next one. TJ, why don't you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, so this one really came out of left field. Injustice 2, they've been teasing their final fighter pack, and they showed off the Atom, which he looks, you know, really great, shrinking and growing and stuff, you know, as he's fighting. Looks like a lot of fun. But then they revealed the other two characters, and technically it's more than two. The Enchantress, who most people know from Suicide Squad, if you're not that familiar with the comics. I'm sure she'll be really fun to play as. But completely out of left field, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are coming to Injustice 2. Which, I can't believe no one leaked that. No one predicted that. I never saw one person even guess that. And they look really cool. Like, their character models in this are how the movie Ninja Turtles in the recent movie should have looked.
So are they in the DC Universe then?
No.
No,
they are, because
I know, like, in, well, yeah, I mean, I
probably
guess
so. More technically in the Marvel universe, though.
Why? Yeah. Have they appeared in the Marvel before?
Well, it's the same ooze that, or the same chemical that Daredevil got in his eyes is the ooze that created them.
Really?
Yeah, supposedly the truck that the ooze was on swerved out of the way because Matt Murdock was walking across the street, and that's where the ooze came out and got the turtles.
That's awesome.
But, I forgot who publishes the Ninja Turtles comics, but it's more of an independent comic.
I think IDW, maybe?
Yeah. So it's not Marvel or DC. So it's just
collaboration. That also means that the Power Rangers could appear at some point, too, because the Turtles once appeared in a couple of episodes of Lost or Power Rangers in Space.
Yep.
See,
all the universes connect.
The Turtles license is just so weird to me, because a lot of people don't know this, but that last Tony Hawk game that came out, the Ninja Turtles were added to that.
What?
Yeah, you can play as all four of the Turtles in that most recent Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk.
So, yeah, I don't know what's going on. And did you guys hear, not to get off topic, but still talking about Turtles, how Nickelodeon's rebooting the series again?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I think it's hand-drawn animation, and they're changing up some of the story. Like, Raphael's the leader now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like they're changing up, like, some of the characters.
Are they keeping their sister?
what was her name?
Oh, man, I don't remember.
It'll come to me later, but, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, making Raphael the leader, though, I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. But,
you know, I watched it, but I heard really good things about this latest series. So.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great. So, but yeah, they're ending it and going for hand-drawn animation and doing all new voice actors and everything. It's completely new.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures of Injustice right now, and yeah, they look great. That's exactly what Ninja Turtles need to look like.
And they haven't shown it yet, but they are going to have all the different armor pieces and everything, just like all the other characters in Injustice. So, should be cool.
That's very nice.
Well, speaking of cool, I am so excited about these next two announcements.
Yeah, we had a double whammy that day.
Actually, kind of did the price announcement come out that same day? Because that's like a triple whammy. Like, Disney is just like asserting its dominance everywhere. So,
too much.
We'll start with the first thing. So we had a double feature out of nowhere Star Wars announcement on, was it like Thursday or Friday, something like that? Last week sometime.
Yeah.
And so Rian Johnson has been given kind of writer-director ownership of a kind of lone freestanding Star Wars trilogy that is not going to be connected to the Skywalker saga.
I love this idea so much.
And I hope it's Old Republic.
I also hope it's Old Republic, but it probably won't be.
It probably won't be. It's like everyone's first reaction anytime Star Wars comes out with anything new. They're like, Old Republic? Oh. Yeah.
I still feel that, like, not to go off topic, but I still feel the story group is holding Revan back for something because they know how popular he is. You know, just like Thrawn, they brought him back in a big way and everyone loves it. I'm pretty sure they're doing the same thing to Revan.
Yeah.
And so I think them going to him, I mean, like, make a Revan trilogy, you know, isn't really going to happen.
No,
and so not. He probably has full reins to do something completely new that we've never seen the likes of at all before.
Which I'm really excited for because, I mean, we talked before about how the standalones are just not powerful enough to really be more than just kind of like a biopic of a certain character or of, like, you know, hole filling in the canon, really. I mean,
yeah.
But with a trilogy, like, you can really, like, get some really meaty story in there. It's like new characters to love and grow attached to, new secrets and reveals. Change up the formula altogether if you want to. Like, do whatever. Like, oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, like, I don't want to criticize Star Wars because I don't really consider this a criticism. It's something I love about it, but it's very predictable in its story beats.
Yes.
For the most part. And so the fact that he could just totally turn that on his head if he likes and go crazy with it is exciting for me.
Same. So coupled with that, unless TJ, do you want to say anything else about that? Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm really curious. And I mean, that, I guess that's pretty promising for The Last Jedi too. I mean, if they have that much faith in him and that movie hasn't even been released yet, it's got to be good.
Yeah, that was the first thing Ryan and I said to each other when we shared the news, is like, Kathleen Kennedy must really like Episode 8.
Well, Ryan Johnson, he tweeted out when they announced that, he's like, now I've always wanted you to really like The Last Jedi, but now I really want you to like The Last Jedi.
That's awesome. Yeah, because so, I mean, these things are never permanent until they're permanent, so it needs to not bomb.
So. Well, it's just so crazy that they've clearly been having problems with their directors, you know, throughout all the new Star Wars stuff. And for them to go, hey, you're going to make a whole new trilogy, like, they must have found gold. So we'll see.
Yeah, when I feel like he's both, like, a team player, like, understands kind of, like, the Star Wars. I think part of the problem with the guys that were doing the Han Solo movie, and then we don't know as much about the guy who's doing Episode 9, but there seemed to be a lot of rumors going around that they didn't really feel like listening to their superiors and been like, oh no, we're artists. Like, we're the directors. We can just play fast and loose. We can do whatever we want. Kathleen Kennedy's like, no, this is a tightly controlled story. This is Star Wars. You will do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
And whether you like that or not, like, Ryan apparently knows how to play ball and also deliver good results. So I'm excited.
So excited.
And coupled with it is the announcement that the new there's going to be a new Star Wars live action TV series on the new Disney streaming service.
I'm also very excited for this.
That's crazy.
It needs to be good. It needs to be good. It can't flop. Please don't flop.
What do you guys think the premise is going to be? You think it's going to follow like the Star Wars underworld? Because it seems like that's the most TV budget friendly version of Star Wars they could do.
I think so. And I remember there was an interview from Kathleen Kennedy sometime after the cancellation of 1313 that she's like, we're hanging on to all of this and we're going to use it sometime in the future. Like, this stuff is not gone forever. And I think that would make a perfect premise for a TV show.
Yeah. And whether or not you're excited or you hate the fact that Disney is spinning off into their own streaming service, I think just modern television has proved that, you know, quote unquote cable or premium based television is the best television. Yep. You know, you look at HBO and Game of Thrones, and you have Showtime and Spartacus, and USA with Mr. Robot, AMC with Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, CBS All Access with Star Trek. I mean, you just and Netflix with all the Netflix shows.
So many to name.
You know,
I love just, how for AMC you didn't say The Walking Dead.
It's because it's not a good show. So.
Oh, shots fired.
So no, I think just them making a premium cable show just through a streaming service, I think is just so appealing to me. And hopefully, and again, they've shown that Star Wars has been almost nothing but quality since the Disney acquisition, and so I don't think Lucasfilm will dare let this thing be anything less than phenomenal for Star Wars fans.
Yep. So you know what my dream Star Wars show would be?
And Old Republic.
No, and I know they'll never do this, but I think it would be great. I would love for it to be Star Wars Cantina Stories, where it's not the same characters every show. It's almost like every episode is a new story with new characters, but it's always starts off at the cantina. All the crazy people and characters that are in there, and then it just focuses on one and tells kind of their story or goes on like some adventure that they do, but then it always starts at the cantina. Like, I think that would be so interesting to see something like that.
That was good. Sorry. I would probably prefer a more serialized show, but that's cool for you.
I'm all about character development and like long arcs and like seeing like people who are like super out of their element become like really awesome later on, like, and find themselves and whatnot. Like, I like the hero's journey. Like, that's
yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I, you know, I'm sure that's what they're going to do, and I would love to see that also, but I just feel like, you know, I think of like, you know, the Twilight Zone, like something like that, but Star Wars themed. And I mean, all the different people in the cantina, like, they could do some really crazy stuff with that. Not saying that I would want that to be the only Star Wars show, but if they could have that alongside of a more serialized one, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. It'd be a great new animated show for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Super fun.
You should definitely read the book from a certain point of view, TJ.
That's what I was about to say.
There's about 10 stories of background characters in the cantina.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, because it's just all short stories from the Star Wars universe. And some of them apparently are really good. So
Not even that big a scope. It's only short stories of characters you see in A New Hope. Side characters.
They already got the hard part down. They already have all the ideas.
Yep.
There you go.
So kind of speaking of a streaming service, Disney CEO Bob Iger says the company's streaming service will be priced substantially below Netflix's cost.
Yep.
What do you two think this means?
I would say at least as cheap as CBS All Access, which is like $5 a month.
So what is Netflix now? I don't 11. Even, is it 11?
Yeah.
How ironic, Stranger Things Season 2 launches and they make the price 11. So it's all that viral marketing. I don't know, because I think the article talked about how Disney openly admitted that they're not going to have a ton of content. It's not like they're going to have thousands and thousands of shows and movies. So, you know, they kind of have to make up for it. But I would love if they started off cheaper and then, you know, as more content gets added over the years, you know, increase the price.
It'd be substantially below because the service will have less content overall. Quote, the price will reflect that. Our goal is to attract as many subscriptions as possible in the beginning.
Man, if they could do like $5 a month, who wouldn't do it?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't subscribe to that?
I was going to say, especially like if the Star Wars live action gets good reviews, like, they're going to blow up.
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder, like, not to be like, what are they thinking? But Disney has probably the biggest library of content out of anybody.
Yeah.
You know, it could be argued, you know, they simply put up a streaming service, charge $10 a month. Not that I'm saying I want to be more expensive, but guess what? You get every movie that they've ever released. You get every TV show that they've ever made, including all Disney Channel original content, you know.
You can watch Smart House.
Right? Yeah, Smart House.
I think Disney is still a little bit sold with the, like, we want people to buy our movies, but here you can stream our TV shows.
Yeah. But just charging people, you know, not say I want expensive price, but like $10-$15 a month versus selling a Blu-ray for a single $15-$20, you know.
Yep, I totally agree.
What happens to the Marvel Netflix shows when this comes out?
They haven't really announced it yet.
But do you guys know, like, does Netflix own that?
I'm pretty sure Disney can't, like, take it away and put it on theirs.
Right.
Either they're just going to take it off Netflix, or they'll just stay on there and they'll retain, like, the shared rights to it, but they just won't make it anymore.
I think they would either have to make it together or not at all, I imagine, based on, because Netflix has been pushing a lot of the initial, you know, weight of the risk and stuff, I would assume. So,
well, then you kind of wonder too, like with the more, I mean, I guess you can argue this, but the more mature themes and stuff, like the Marvel shows on Netflix get away with a bit more than the movies do. So will Disney even want that if they start making the shows on their service, like the future shows?
That's true. Is the new streaming service going to have Disney's name on it, or is it going to be something? Because they like their brand to be very family friendly.
Which
also calls into question, you know, what kind of content is the new Star Wars show going to have?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good point indeed.
So, well, I think really quick, one thing we should mention, if a sci-fi is not your thing and you're more of a fantasy fellow or lady, Lord of the Rings is having its own series coming to Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
Aragorn!
Gandalf!
Yeah, and they said it's going to be a prequel. Is it a prequel to The Hobbit or a prequel to Lord of the Rings?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, well, you guys don't sound very excited
about
that. No, I'm excited about thinking. It. I just have no idea where it could go. Like,
is it going to be canon? Or is it going to be like the Shadow of War, where it's very obviously not canon?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Question. Like, do they care if it's canon? Like, I mean, are they continuing with more movies in the future?
I don't know. That's a really good question. Did they say like a release date or a time frame that they're trying to get this out by?
But it'd still be really interesting. Like, you know, like, again, not to mention Shadow War again, but like it took a very like R-rated, M-rated view of the Tolkien universe, whereas the movies have been very family-friendly, PG-13. You know,
yeah.
And so, which one will this be as well? It was kind of the first thing that came to my mind. You know, I'm thinking that they'll probably go more of a adult route since, you know, due to Game of Thrones popularity, pretty much right off the bat.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Even if they did half of what Game of Thrones has, it's already going to be adult.
It's being, did we say that it's being done by Amazon?
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, no announced release date that I can see.
Maybe it'll be just as popular as Amazon's Zombieland.
Although apparently the deal was said to be close to $250 million to acquire the rights. So
wow. Well,
hope it works out.
Just as long as every episode ends with an original song from Tom Bombadil, I'm sold.
I'm more looking forward to the Ghost of Leonard Nimoy singing the Bilbo song.
Oh no.
There's a new verse every episode.
Yep. Well, good stuff. Well, kind of on the, we're still on the subject of you know, streaming shows and premium television, but Marvel's The Punisher, it's getting really, really good reviews. Initial reviews are out and some are calling it the best MCU series ever made.
Wow.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at any reviews yet, but yeah, I mean, I was really looking forward to it, and then I saw the most recent trailer, and I realized that that character Karen is in it a lot, and I really don't like her.
Who's so, Karen again? I forgot.
Karen from Daredevil.
Oh, she's the blonde?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if she's just going to appear in a couple episodes, or if she is, like, one of the main characters, but
I could I could easily see her transitioning to being a main character there, because, she doesn't really like what Matt is doing anymore with Daredevil, and like they're kind of done, and she thinks he's dead, so it's like, oh, oops, spoiler. But that's, I don't know. Okay.
So for me, like, I was excited for Punisher because it was still a cool part of season two of Daredevil, but just the Defenders just kind of just didn't really turn me off for the whole thing, but I was like, okay, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah,
I'll
see
how it's received.
I think it needs...
I still haven't finished Defenders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just never really wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, like, I enjoyed it, and it was fun, and it was short. I really think they need to rework a few things. Like, I think that Daredevil, or not Daredevil, I think that Luke Cage and Iron Fist should have, like, a show together rather than their own shows. You said
Iron Fish.
I probably said, I think I said Iron Fished. Can't like my inner Sean Connery.
Iron Chef.
Iron Fished. Or Iron Fish. You know, fish have a lot of iron in them. Anyway, it's going bad. So, I think there's some changes that need to happen. Like, I don't think each person needs their own show. I think they could make it even just one show from here on out and just switch between different heroes or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. So, do we know how many episodes Punisher is?
I don't. I haven't looked.
Fail.
17.
When does it come out?
Oh, no. Friday.
Nobody knows. Wow. Friday, along with that Star Wars Battlefront and Justice League. It's round 2 of October 27th.
Super exciting.
But yeah, it's just obvious that the same people who are doing the TV shows aren't doing the movies. That's kind of frustrating. That it seems like, A, they want to be completely separate, and C, B, someone is like, oh, they're trying to recreate that magic that the movies are making, and they're just not doing a very good job of it.
Yeah. Well, I liked it first that they were their own thing, dark and gritty and everything, and they just didn't deliver. I don't know, like, they should have brought back Fisk or something, because like the villains did not live up to. I was never as scared of them as I was of Fisk, and that's just wrong.
Yeah.
And I just wanted, like, Daredevil had a huge part in the Civil War storyline in the comics. And so, like, he didn't have to have a huge part in the movies, but, you know, have him and a couple more show up for that airport fight, you know?
Yeah, I don't understand why they can't combine movies and TV stuff. Like, why is there this artificial barrier there?
In Civil War, they had so many random Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would have killed them to have, like, Fitz or Simmons, like, sitting there at one of the computers or walking around. Yeah. Bumping into Captain America. Oh, sorry, you know.
Yeah, just like a 2-second scene. You don't even need to pay him that much. Like,
yeah,
they would be thrilled to be in one of those movies.
Yep.
Did I talk about on one of the previous episodes where Michael Rosenbaum has a podcast and he had, what's his name? Played Clark Kent. Tom Welling. He had Tom Welling as a guest, and they just went back and forth. Tom Welling isn't really known for his interviews and stuff. He doesn't really make a lot of appearances, so it was a big deal when he was on. But they talked about, Michael Rosenbaum talked about how people approached him and said, like, you need to be Lex Luthor in the movies. Like, you are Lex Luthor. And he said he was all for it. He would have done it in a heartbeat, but he said the TV world and the movie world are two totally different, like, worlds. They don't communicate with each other. They're not on the same page about anything. That's why it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
So dumb.
Like, I know.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
And I mean, I could kind of understand a little bit in that situation, you know, because people would associate that character, the Lex Luthor character from Smallville, with any Lex Luthor character he would play again. You know, they would think it's a continuation of Smallville, and it'd be confusing for people.
True.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But in this situation with the Marvel stuff, it's like, no, there's like, it's all Disney, you know, even though there are, I'm sure they are completely separate divisions. Like, just get a little cross promotion. You know, they're already trying to sell us at the fact that they take place in the same world. Right. And they mention, you know, the Avengers incident, so to speak. So like, don't,
but they don't even say the Avengers incident. They say the incident. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
They can't even name drop other heroes. Like, why can't they at least do that? I'm not even saying that these movie actors need to make appearances. That would be great. But they can't even name drop other characters.
Yep. So, it's dumb.
It's silly.
So, we'll see what happens. Don't know if I'll binge watch The Punisher, but it's good to know that's good, and I'll probably keep it on my short list.
Yeah.
Yep. Same.
So, just kind of on that, and last superhero news, we got Justice League this Friday. Who's excited? TJ's excited.
I am excited, but I'm not really excited. I said, I'm going to be so upset if Superman ends up being in this movie for like 5 minutes. Because I'm sure, we know he's in it.
Yeah.
But we don't know how much he's in it, and they're not marketing him at all.
Which I find funny, because they did market him. He was originally on like posters and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember seeing posters at San Diego Comic-Con with him on it, but then all of a sudden they're like, oh, LOL, JK, he's not in it, guys. Wink, wink.
Wink, yeah.
He's dead.
And there are toys. There's Justice League, the movie toys, appearing in stores, and he has a toy. And he's in his regular costume. He's not in the black one like everyone's talking about.
No mullet either?
No mullet. And wait, the mustache you can see, they just painted over it.
Mullet? What? What's this?
In the comics Death of Superman storyline, when he comes back, he's wearing a black suit and he has a mullet, and he's kind of evil for a little while.
Of course, because mullets are evil.
Yeah, so. People are joking that we're going to see him in a mullet in this movie. But anywho, yeah, so that's, yeah, I agree. I agree. He doesn't need it. I mean, end of second act, he needs to come in.
I agree, yeah. He needs to be the third act reveal. I think.
Well, not no. Yeah, not that late. End of second act, I think, is the perfect spot.
Well, I mean, that's the end of second act is the third act, but
true. I don't want it to be a Wonder Woman like situation in Batman v Superman. Just like, hey guys, I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So. But I'm also tentatively excited. I'm glad it's getting, you know, mediocre good reception so far. Like, it's not blowing people out of the water, but it's, I think, if people are saying it's going to be certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes after all said and done. So, that's good.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see Wonder Woman again, because I love her. I don't have a lot of faith in the rest of it. It looks like more like dark, gritty, dark. Darkness, dark with aliens, and I'm like, I don't want this anymore. But we'll see.
And I'm really sad because Justice League is probably my favorite property, comic property. Period.
Yeah.
It's the comics I out of Marvel and DC. It's probably the comics I read the most, or the Justice League comics. You know, as weak as some of the individual members can be on their own in the comics, debatably, you know, I think that the Justice League team as a team, you know, are better than the Avengers as a team, as far as their, how well they work together and how fun those stories and adventures can be and the threats they face. I just feel that the movies aren't going to do that justice whatsoever.
Yeah. It actually makes me want to just go read the comics.
I should show you a couple of good stuff. Or at least maybe you could just start with some of the animated movies. Because they're really good. So we got one listener question this week. Trent, do you want to go ahead and take that?
Yeah. Our friend Eric, who was our guest host a few weeks ago, asked us, what are some games to play with your family on Thanksgiving?
There is a single good definitive... Oh, no, I take that back. There's not. My answer is the Jackbox Party Pack.
I knew it. I knew you were going to say it.
I love the Jackbox Party Pack. I might need to buy the fourth one before.
Jackbox, all three of them are super fun. I would totally second this. I would say if you have a Switch, there's a lot of fun party games that I've heard about, like 1-2 Switch and ARMS looks fun. Mario Kart 8's port on the Switch is super fun. So those are the ones that come to mind for me.
I would definitely say Overcooked. It's on every system. That game is some of the most fun multiplayer I've played in years.
Ooh, is that the one where you like run a kitchen together and like cook in a restaurant or something?
Yeah, and it pretty much it's just the stick and a couple
that
buttons.
Awesome.
Really easy to learn, and it's frantic and it's just you're screaming and yelling at each other as you're cooking. And there's like 2v2. There's like 2-player co-op. So highly, highly recommend that.
Nice. Yeah, it looks really fun. I've seen some people play it online, and I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, it's hilarious. You and Ryan should play it. It's phenomenal.
I'm also going to recommend Nintendo Land for the Wii U.
Nintendo Land.
It's a good one.
And also, just to plug, board games are phenomenal, especially for family activities. There's a lot of really great like modern takes on new board games that are fun, like co-op board games especially are great for the family. Last summer, I bought my family Betrayal on House on the Hill, and it's sometimes cooperative, usually not in the end, because one of them becomes the traitor, but not always. like you explore a house together and it's different every time because each house tile is just a tile that you lay out. It's super fun.
Yeah, that game, like everyone's playing against the board, and then when the haunt happens, one person becomes the villain and they have to leave the room and they have their own rules and everyone else has their own rules, and then the person comes back and now everyone is playing against that person. It's so much fun.
That's way cool.
Oh, also, there's an expansion for it that adds like 50 or 100 new haunts, which is super awesome. They made a D&D version called Betrayal at Baldur's Gate. Mm-hmm. So it's the same game, same style, but instead of playing like random house explorers, like you're a team of adventurers. Like one of you is the wizard, one of you is the cleric, and you have like some limited powers that you can use as your class. And it sounds super fun, so I'm excited to try that one out too.
Yeah, it's a great time. And if you're looking for something, I mean, if just as long as you have one person who's really familiar with, like, you know, more advanced board games and stuff. I mean, it's not the most advanced game ever, but just as long as you have one person who's used to that and can explain it, like, casual players can definitely play that, no problem. If you're looking for something a bit more straightforward, though, and really casual, the Monopoly Gamer that came out this year, it's a Mario-themed Monopoly. It is awesome. It does not play like regular Monopoly. It has a lot of the Monopoly elements, but it has like its own set of rules, and it actually has an end game. Like once the final boss is defeated, the game ends, and then whoever has the most coins wins. So it's not like normal Monopoly that could take, you know, all night. I love it. Absolutely love it. I played it with some family this past summer when it came out, and everyone just had a blast with it. And it's only like $20, so definitely worth it.
Yeah, I saw it at a toy store and was reading the back of the box. I was like, this sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Well, very nice. That's what you should play with your family this Thanksgiving.
There you go. Very good question. I like that.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. All right, Trent, do you want to take us out?
Sure. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of the Brief Nerdy Podcast. Make sure to reach out to us on our social media and ask us some questions, give us some topics. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll catch you next week.
Snoochie Boochies.
For Mr. Frodo.